WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And with the air quality alert in effect as a result of the weather, let's talk about heat. And not all of us can stay in the air conditioning or in the shade. So we're going to explore how we respond to the heat physically, culturally, and emotionally. Maybe like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men.
I need an answer to my question, sir.
Take caution in your tone, Commander. I'm a fair guy, but this heat is making me absolutely crazy.
All right. That's Demi Moore and Jack Nicholson in that famous scene that we had to bleep. Let's start with Dr. Susie Vassallo, a clinical associate professor in the Department of Medicine at NYU Langone, who researches how the body controls its temperature. Welcome to WNYC, Dr. Vassallo.
Thank you.
And listeners, do you have a question about the medical side of heat and humidity? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And to start on the news, on the headline, what is this air quality alert in effect as a result of the weather? And why do we get these in the summer on the hottest days?
Well, the air quality in the ozone is affected by the temperature. And some people, particularly those with lung disease, such as asthma, are particularly affected by the air quality. And so we're warned to either take certain precautions, staying indoors, using our inhaler, doing something that's healthy for ourselves to avoid those potential
pitfalls. Use the word ozone. This is not the depletion of the ozone layer.
No. Well, and of course, that's a little bit out. The weatherman could probably tell us better about that. It's a little bit outside of my expertise. But we do understand that the weather and the heat and very much affect our health.
Do you want to walk us through the ways that the body is supposed to work to avoid overheating when the heat and humidity are high? We have bodily functions that are supposed to compensate, right?
That's right. So we have a thermostat in the brain called the hypothalamus. So we're supposed to keep a temperature of 98.6 degrees all the time. So our body's always working to do that. A couple of ways it does that. First of all, the thermostat is set at 98.6. If it starts to feel like the body's heating up, it sends signals out to the arms and the legs and the body to dilate the blood vessels so that they expand, bring more blood to the surface where the skin is, and then we are sweating and it's bringing more and more blood to the surface, and we're having evaporative cooling by sweating. And of course, all of that requires a really good heart. The heart goes from pumping about 5 liters per minute of blood around the body to up to 15 liters per minute.
Oh, the heart works harder in hot weather.
That's right. And that's really critical, so that people who have a heart disease or high blood pressure, there's some reason their heart can't work as well, are going to be at risk of heat-related problems.
At what temperatures do you start to see the cases of heat exhaustion or heat stroke or other actual heat-related emergencies in emergency rooms?
Well, we see those. It's the heat index, which of course is a combination of the humidity and the temperature. And the National Weather Service has that beautiful chart with orange and yellow and green and red for danger. And so we start to see in the 80s, particularly in New York City, we start to see around 86, 88 degrees.
But that's supposed to be our high today is about 88.
Yes.
And then about 90 tomorrow.
That's right. And, of course, it depends on the person's health and their ability to have some degree of time every day in air conditioning. That relieves some of the heat stress. So there are a lot of things that are happening. But somebody who's on certain drugs that put them at risk, or using drugs or who's actually taking some pharmaceutical treatments, those people are also at risk. But anybody exercising hard, even young and healthy, like military, can succumb to heat stroke given the right set of circumstances.
You mentioned air conditioning. Is part of the advantage of air conditioning that it serves as a dehumidifier?
It is. That's true. And that's because the humidity has so much to do with this. It's a dehumidifier. It conditions the air in that way, and, of course, it cools.
What happens in somewhere like Arizona, where it can be 120 degrees, but with very low humidity, and people don't even feel themselves sweat because the sweat evaporates so quickly?
Well, I think a lot of people in those temperatures and even without the humidity get heat stroke. And, of course, everybody's air conditioned there, so that gives them and they're also behaviorally, they know to stay outside or stay indoors at certain times of day. And but plenty of people get sick in those circumstances as well.
What's the difference between heat stroke and heat exhaustion?
So heat stroke means that your ability to think clearly is altered. You are in delirium or you're not thinking clearly, whereas heat exhaustion...
I know people who have heat stroke all winter by that definition.
Right, right,
no, I'm
right.
kidding.
So heat exhaustion is usually with a completely clear thinking. Usually the body temperature stays approximately normal, whereas at heat stroke, the body's temperature is above 105 degrees.
Whoa, that's high.
It is.
Listeners, do you have a question about the medical side of overheating? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Dr. Susie Vasallo from the NYU Langone Medical Center, 212-433-9692. You mentioned medications that can exacerbate the way your body deals with heat. I want everybody to know that you're cited in the AP article about the death of the Rikers Island inmate from overheating in his cell because you monitor heat conditions there. What's your association with Rikers Island?
Well, I'm the expert agreed on by the city and by legal aid to look at the conditions at Rikers with regards to the temperatures and to try to help assess the risk of the prisoners at Rikers with regards to heat illness.
So in that case, you noted, according to the AP, that it's likely the drugs he was taking for his mental illness exacerbated the effects of the heat in his cell. Can you get specific about that?
Right. So if you think of us as human beings having a couple of things that we do, number one, we have a thermostat in our brain, and that the drugs that people take to treat mental illness will affect the function of that thermostat. As well, it affects the ability of the sweat glands to work, and it often will. Some of those medications can affect the ability of the to sweat. So, in addition, you have the underlying mental illness, which impairs people's thought process sometimes, their realization that they're getting sick, their ability to deal and to ask for help in a way that's going to result in help.
What other common medications exacerbate the effects of heat?
Well, probably the most well-known are those that treat high blood pressure. Some of those keep the heart from pumping as hard as it needs to be pumping or as beating as many times. So beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, all those things that people take, particularly diuretics. A common one would be HCTZ, like hydrochlorothiazide, because those are deplete the body of fluids and dehydration can result. And you need to be able to pump a large amount of blood around the system, and you need to have a healthy heart. So diabetes as well, that ability to dilate the blood vessels is impaired in people with diabetes because diabetes affects the vasculature.
Listeners, your questions about the medical side of overheating for Dr. Susie Vasallo from NYU Langone, 212-433-WNYC. And Matt in Springfield, you're on WNYC. Hello, Matt.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling. I have multiple sclerosis, and I know that my nerves are kind of frayed, so that changes the equation for me. I tend to overheat, and it affects my nerve conduction. And I wondered if you had any word on why it is that heat would so strongly affect heat and humidity actually would affect my nerve conduction.
Well, that's a good question. All of the processes that I've talked about, from the brain to the arms and legs and to the sweat glands and to the blood vessels, will be somewhat affected in multiple sclerosis. You may also be on some medicine to treat that, which are also affecting the ability of your body to lose heat to the outside to properly cool itself.
Brenda in Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good. My question is, I have high blood pressure, and I also had a hysterectomy. Now, with the hysterectomy, it automatically put me through the hot flashes. With this weather, it's not helping any. I get the hot flash severe where I wear glasses. They will actually steam up. I don't know what else to do. I can't take any other medications because I am a recovering cancer patient also.
Any advice for Brenda?
Well, I think the most important thing is to avoid those things. You are limited in your ability to treat yourself because of the reasons you've said. And some of those things will get better over time, but the main thing is to recognize that you have that limitation and to keep yourself out of dangerous situations.
Brenda, good luck. Are children better able to cope than adults?
Well, children have better hearts in general. They can make faster heart rates, but we have to be very careful. There are a number of children that die in the United States every year who are locked in cars in hot environments. And the temperature can rise over 5 or 10 minutes to lethal levels, and that goes for pets as well. So the answer is they have good hearts, but otherwise, they do better than elderly people.
And yet, older people also tend to feel colder and like heat. Tell me if I'm generalizing incorrectly here, you know, and move to Florida
right.
Because it's a more comfortable climate than dealing with the cold, which gets harder as you get older.
That's true. It's actually, they did a lot of studies in England in the 1950s that showed that people didn't even recognize the temperatures, their body temperatures. So we become a little bit, it's more difficult for us to regulate our temperature, either cold or hot, the older we get. Another pleasure of aging.
Related question, I think. Jan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jan.
Hi. I love saunas. They've helped me so much over the years. And, I'm in my 70s, and my girlfriend just told me, she says, older people were told not to take saunas, and I was wondering why.
Well, if you think about it, the way that we cool ourselves is by sweat is evaporating, but, of course, a sauna is all water, so you cannot evaporatively cool. So if you love saunas, I would continue to do what you love. Be very aware. If you start to feel hot, get out of the sauna, cool off a little bit, and then go back in. Don't stay in for a prolonged period and pay good attention to your body.
Saunas can be humid heat or they can be dry heat, right?
That's true.
Is one or the other better, especially for an elderly person?
Well, I really don't think so, because both of them can result in heat illness. And when I'm in a sauna, usually you're happy to be there. It's a fun experience, and you need to pay careful attention. When you start to feel warm or hot, just get out and use common sense and enjoy yourself.
Joe in Harrington Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Yes, hi. I noticed, I'd like to ask, when I play tennis, sometimes too hot out, I get goosebumps, and then I start feeling a little bit lightheaded. Is that another symptom of heat exhaustion?
It is. It's one of the most common problems. With you start to feel goosebumps, and you feel almost like you're shivering. And exactly why that is probably just adrenaline stimulation, and it's a very good warning.
Bob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. You know, I was in 2000. I was on the Great Wall of China, hiking up, and it was 100 degrees and 98% humidity, and I stopped to help another person in trouble and ended up with a terrible situation myself. A good Samaritan saved me. But my question, and so I realize now how important all this is, but my question is about electrolytes, pre pre-treating yourself with electrolytes, the importance of electrolytes, how much, when, and so on, to help yourself when you're going to be in a hot climate situation and exerting yourself.
The most important thing is just to drink enough water, and not necessarily those drinks that come with electrolytes, such as sports drinks. A lot of them have a lot of sugar, and that's not helpful. And no salt tablets. If you think about how you feel when you eat a bag of pretzels, you need to drink a lot of water, because so that balance between salt and water is important, and the best thing is just drinking water. And maybe a little bit more than thirst. Thirst is a good indicator of how much water, but usually a little bit more than thirst. Especially the older we get, we tend not to feel as thirsty, and we need to drink a little bit more than thirst, but not too much. Like the marathoners, sometimes they drink a whole lot of water, and their salt electrolyte falls too low, and that creates another emergency.
Did you say a little salt with the water? Rather than resort to the Gatorade for the electrolytes because of the sugar and everything, but a little bit of salt with the water?
No, I want to be more clear. That is, just regular water is fine. That's all you need. You shouldn't take extra salt.
Salt tablets, people have taken?
No, that's a definite no.
No, because it...
Because basically you have you're too much salt, and you need to be always at a constant... equilibrium of salt and water, and just drinking water, your kidneys will do the rest.
We're just about out of time. Anything really important that we didn't get to that affects a lot of people?
I think that the most important thing would be the public health message, which is that there are always extra deaths on heat waves couple of days in front of above a 90, or like today. Really pay attention to your neighbors. A lot of people won't use air conditioning. It's expensive. Fans don't help. So really pay attention to those infirm or on medications or your neighbors, and check on them and bring them into air conditioning at least a few hours a day.
And with the ozone pollution alert in effect today, if you want to work out, better to go to the air-conditioned gym than to take your usual run outside, if that's what you do?
Well, I find the air-conditioned very pleasant.
Pleasant. And also protective.
I'm not sure. It is protective, but I think that for most healthy people, without asthma and all these other, a run outside is perfectly healthy.
Dr. Susie Vassallo, Clinical Associate Professor in the Department of Medicine at NYU Langone, on the medical side of heat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.